Did you know nearly one-third of supplement consumers in the U.S. are unsatisfied with the current immune-supporting drinks on the market? Help your consumers get the products they want with Immuse, the novel, clinically researched postbiotic that activates our body's natural defenses at the cellular level for year-round immune support. Formulate with the immune health ingredients backed by 30-plus research studies. Learn more at immusehealth.com. That's Immuse, I-M-M-U-S-E, health.com.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to Taste Radio, the number one podcast for the food and beverage industry. I'm editor and producer Ray Lateef, and you're listening to episode 213, which features an interview with Carl Goyette, the CEO of pioneering organic energy drink brand Guru. Just a reminder, if you like what you hear on Taste Radio, please share the podcast with friends and colleagues. And of course, would love it if you could review us on the Apple Podcasts app or your listening platform of choice. Search the BevNet database for natural or organic energy drinks, and unfortunately, you'll find dozens of brands that are no longer in business. Despite sustained consumer interest in better-for-you energy, few companies in the space have been able to achieve meaningful scale. A notable exception, however, is Guru, which launched in 1999 and markets a first-of-its-kind organic energy drink. Based in Montreal, Guru is the third best-selling energy brand in Canada, according to the company, and has established a consistent presence in natural retailers in the U.S., along with a growing business in convenience stores. So how has Guru succeeded where so many others have failed? In the following interview, I spoke with Guru CEO Carl Goyette about how a disciplined business strategy has paved the way for consistent growth, why the company says no to a lot of opportunities, why he believes that having both experience in a corporate environment and a thirst for entrepreneurship have been key to his ability to manage and grow the brand. Hey folks, it's Ray with Taste Radio. I'm on a call right now with Carl Goyette, the CEO of Guru Organic Energy. Carl, how are you?
Very good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being with me. Where are you calling in from today?
Calling from from my home office in Montreal, Canada.
Ah, nice. I've been to Montreal a few times. Beautiful city. How long have you been there?
Oh, pretty much grew up in Montreal all my life. Grew up in the eastern townships in the remote areas in the countryside on an apple orchard, but then eventually moved to Montreal for university. So I've been here pretty much all my life.
You grew up on an apple orchard? was that ever in the cards for you to be an apple farmer?
Well, it came close, but I guess my dad just sold the apple orchard. He's retired last week, actually. So this is big news in the family, but Guru is keeping me quite busy right now, and there's so much room to grow that decided to focus on that.
Yeah, I can imagine that selling the family business is a big step. But did you work in the family business, or were you always focused on the corporate life?
No, absolutely. I did work as a kid. I worked in the family business, and I come from a family of entrepreneurs. My brother is an entrepreneur as well, and. And again, when we were kids, we were working on the farm and on the apple orchard. Started selling apples next to the road in front of the lawn, and learned the basic tricks of retail when I was at a very young age.
I mean, sell a bushel of apples and you can sell anything, right?
That's it. Yeah. Even then, like two for five for the baskets, $1 for $3 was, some similarities to the energy drink industry.
For sure. As I mentioned, you're the CEO of Guru. You've paid your dues. You've held a number of roles at Guru and other companies, working your way up to your current position. And I'd love to hear what advice you have for other folks that are starting at the bottom of the ladder or in middle management about what it takes to get where you are now.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot, and it's hard to say. For me, it's going to be a little bit, it's going to sound a little bit cliche, but you really have to find something that you love. I've been very lucky, because for me, even growing up as a kid, as we talked about, I grew up in a family of entrepreneurs, but for me, it was clear I was going to go in business and I was going to be in sales and in marketing. So I never had like those dilemmas of what I was going to do. So I went to school, studied, went to university and business school. And so right when I finished, I knew that I was, finished school and I was going to be an entrepreneur or a professional in business. So the first thing, the reason why I say this is if you find something to love or something that you love, you're going to be passionate, right? And you're going to have a lot of drive. And sometimes I see people that it's not so clear if they really love or enjoy what they're doing. And sometimes after a while, they lack the drive and they can't sustain the energy that you need to succeed. So that's really the first one that came to mind. Eventually, when you start going up the ladder, I think soft skills become really, really important. And I think working your emotional intelligence is fundamental. You can't do this alone, right? You have to surround yourself with a team of people you trust and that are so engaged as you are. So for me, values of authenticity, integrity, keeping a positive attitude have been certainly been part of what's been driving my success.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Last thing I'd say is probably keeping a healthy, again, a little bit cliche, but healthy and balanced lifestyle. For me, the best ideas, they don't necessarily come when I'm working. They might come when I'm biking, when I'm running, when I'm outside in nature. So having, spending some time with the family is also fundamental for me to keep performing.
I've always been interested in Guru as a brand. It was one of the first, if not the first, natural organic energy drink brand on the market. And oftentimes we hear that first to market is a pretty significant advantage for a brand. Looking back, how much of an advantage has it been to be the first or one of the first organic energy drink brands? And would Guru's position be significantly different had the brand launched, say, in 2009 instead of 1999?
Yeah. There's no debate. This will always be a tremendous advantage. There's no doubt. It gives us the platform to be credible, to be the authentic brand. It's such a powerful statement to be able to say we were the world's first natural energy drink since 1999. Especially if you're in a mission to clean up, you're in a mission to clean up this industry, to be able to make statements like this, to talk to consumers, to tell the story to consumers, to have a 20-year platform of learnings to educate your strategy. There's no debate that this is a fantastic part of our brand and our story. Would it be different if we had launched in 2009? I think the brand was way ahead of its time, right? There's no doubt in 1999, consumers didn't care that much about better for you energy. They didn't even know what energy drinks were, right? Keep in mind, Guru launched in Canada before Red Bull came to Canada. So it was very, very early in the days. The other part outside of the story, the other good part of being first to market is the solid base of consumers that we've built along the years, right? They are the consumers buying our brand every day. And these consumers are generating cash flow that we can reinvest in growing the business. And that's probably why we've been so successful without having to do successive investment rounds and raising cash, spending that cash. Like this business has been profitable and cash flow positive for many years because of this solid base of very loyal consumers, right? So I think these are the two big points. The authenticity in the story and the solid base of loyal consumers are the two big ones that are tremendous advantage for us.
Mike, I heard you're starting a beverage company.
Ray, let's say I was. Do you have any suggestions for a complete partner?
Absolutely. Ingredion. Ingredion is a leading global plant-based ingredient solutions provider to the food and beverage industry with a diverse portfolio, including sweeteners and sugar reduction technologies, plant-based proteins, starches, and hydrocolloids.
Of course. Ingredients 360 Value Framework delivers value according to your brand's specific needs through consumer well-being, environmental impact, and value creation. Ingredients market research and insights for innovation can help uncover opportunities within the beverage space. For instance, figuring out what added health benefits consumers need. They have a network of technical experts that will help you solve your pain points to get you to market faster. With Ingredient, you gain a partner who helps you deliver the total beverage experience that keeps consumers coming back.
To learn more about Ingredient, head to tasteradio.com/beverage.
The New Beverage Showdown returns to BevNet Live in New York City on June 12th and 13th. Pitch your beverage startup in front of a panel of expert judges, our live audience, and viewers tuning into the live stream. To learn more, visit bevnetlive.com.
What was the original positioning of the brand, and how has it evolved over the years?
So, like, to answer this question, you have to go back to, I almost need to tell you the story on how the brand was created and what's the brand DNA. And
sure, yeah.
To see how it evolved, yeah. So the story on how this was created, right, is that Joe, my partner and our founder, was running nightclubs in Montreal. And he was running one of the most legendary after hours in North America, which was called the Sona. And back in at the end of the 90s, there was a big trend in after hours and in nightclubs, which was called smart drinks. People were drinking. Do you remember smart drinks? That big trend in the 90s, or maybe you're too young.
do you mean like nootropic drinks?
Yeah, well, they were kind of nootropics, a mix of energy drinks, but they were homemade, right? So they were called Justin Smart Drinks bars in the bars, right? And they had a bunch of blenders, and they were blending the botanicals to keep people hydrated and energized for long hours in the clubs, right? There was also oxygen bars back then. If you remember, people were sitting at the bars and with oxygen tubes in their nose. In the days of of coronavirus, I'm not sure these would be they would be too popular, but these were the big trends back then, right? And Joe was seeing this in his nightclubs and was seeing this popular, but it was a pain to be blending botanicals and coconut water and a bunch of stuff in blenders. So they were looking for a ready-to-drink version of the smart drinks. And at the same time, there's no debate. Red Bull was starting in Europe. It was starting to be popular. And so they said, you know what? Why not we make a natural version of an energy drink or a natural version of our smart drinks to keep people energized and partying all night long, right? So this goes back to the DNA of the brand, right? They picked the name back then. Guru was the brand name, and Guru is a powerful name, right? It has a powerful meaning. It's for us, it's a source of inspiration. It's a force that helps you move forward. So they had this brand name, and they had this history, right? The brand was launched in the club. So at first, it was a lot more urban, upbeat. It was all about the hip nightlife and the creatives and the cool kids in the urban areas that were attending, you know, that were going into Joe's nightclubs. So that's how it started. The positioning was a lot more about energy. So it was more, hey, this is an energy drink. Hey, and by the way, it's a natural brand, right? So over the years, I think that got, you know, somewhat balanced a lot more, especially since 2014, where we really started to repositioning the brand as the better for you, healthy alternative to legacy energy drinks, right? So there was big brands. Now the industry is big and it's ready for disruption. A few big brands dominate the market. So we kind of moved the positioning from urban, hip, nightlife creative to more of a natural and adventurous, enjoy the outdoors, reconnect with nature, build the authentic story around the first natural energy drink. So it's the same brand DNA. What I'm trying to say is the same brand DNA that has evolved over time as the consumers have evolved, right? The consumers are not like nightlife. It's not as big as it used to be at the end of the night in the 90s. Instagram and Facebook social media platforms have given a beautiful platform for brands to express lifestyle. And it's much easier done like in the outdoors and in people that are connecting with nature than trying to, you know, portray lifestyle of urban consumers, right? So there's an evolution, obviously, but it's the same DNA centered around the Guru brand.
We've seen that positioning of a better for you, healthy alternative to mainstream energy drinks from a number of brands, hundreds actually. And of those hundreds, most have failed. It's interesting that Guru is one of the ones that has not only survived, but succeeded on that, using that platform, using that positioning. You know, what do you think that Guru has done right that others haven't been able to figure out? What's that code that you've been able to crack? And how have you been able to establish your position as the leading brand in this better for you, healthy segment?
This is a hard one, right? But back to positioning for sure. Like the brand positioning itself is a mainstream brand. This is an energy drink, right? It feels like an energy drink. It works like an energy drink. It tastes like an energy drink. It just happens to be organic and plant-based, right? I think that's certainly one of the big parts of our success. Being the first one, as we talked about earlier, is clearly another part of our success. And I guess we've been pretty good at avoiding the typical mistakes that many other brands have done, right? Maybe because of our long history, maybe because of our disciplined strategic planning process, and maybe because we've been very methodical about how we grow this brand. But for example, we've avoided the typical spray, what we call spray and pray distribution, right? To go and list everywhere and hope for the best, right? We don't do that. Like if we list somewhere, we want to support the brand and we want to grow the brand. So distribution is only, like Austin said, distribution is only half the story. If you're going to list somewhere, you have to work the brand, you have to work the consumers. The second thing we did is decided not to launch too many SKUs. And fill the pipeline. Instead, we work on growing the velocity of our brand. We have been very disciplined in not raising cash and starting to burn cash. You know, we've been building this business solidly and profitably over the last 15 years, 20 years. And we've maintained our margins, right? So I guess like this is probably like from a execution point of view, what we've done well. This has resulted in organic growth a very sustainable growth that we've seen over the years, right? Built a solid base of very loyal consumers.
Having a loyal base of consumers is very, very important for so many different reasons. I'm wondering what your consumers see in Guru that they don't see in other brands. In other words, why are they shopping Guru? What aspects of the brand are they most drawn to? And how did you figure out how to highlight those in your marketing and advertising?
This is a fine line between, I guess, mainstream taste is fundamental, right? Like it can, like the energy drink consumers, they want an energy drink, right? I've said that before. They want a brand that feels like an energy drink, and they want a taste that tastes like an energy drink. So that's one, but that's after trial, right? Because once they try it, consumers of Guru typically become very loyal, and we have many insights to support that. The reason they pick it up on the shelf, right, is in the absence of us doing field marketing, I guess has to do with the branding itself. It needs to stand out on the shelf, and it needs to be clearly saying what it is, right? This is an energy drink first, and it's a better-for-you energy drink. So it says organic energy loud and clear. We're still adapting that, and as consumers evolve, we're just launching right now what we're calling a rebranding, subtle adjustments that are making a big difference for us in the way our can stands out on the shelf.
When you think about your competitors, are you looking at the quote-unquote big brands, or are they the brands that are most aligned with you guys in terms of their formulation?
Oh, there's no doubt. You know, where our competitors are the big brands. As I said earlier, Guru is mainstream energy for the next generation of energy consumers, right? We're on a mission to clean up that industry. We're a mission-driven challenger brand. And the other brands that are in better for you organic energy, honestly, are on the same mission as we are. So actually, when we see other brands succeed, we're actually happy for them. Like some other brands have done some very good stuff. There's a lot of room to grow for organic, better for you energy right now. Like this, as you know, this is a, this is a $14, $15 billion industry in North America, and it's still growing, and it's dominated by two big brands. There's lots of room for disruption, and we think we can lead that journey, but we're not going to be the only brand in the organic Better For You energy drink. We've been leading this, and other brands can succeed. So we're really after the big brands.
One of the things we often talk about in the podcast is reason for being, point of differentiation. What makes your product or brand so much different, so much better than what's currently on the market? And is the point of difference defensible? As in, will it stop a big player from coming in and doing the exact same that you're doing more efficiently and frankly better? You mentioned the big brands, and there are a couple of them that I can think of that have launched organic SKUs. And I'll put you on the spot. You know, what is it that you're doing that can keep them at bay? Because they do have more resources. They do have better distribution. They do have deeper pockets.
Well, it's going back to your earlier question, right? It's not winning in the energy drink industry is not only about the product, right? It's about the brand. And that's why it's fundamental to build the brand as you are building the business, right? You need to build a solid base of consumers that are not only loyal to your ingredients, right? And ingredients list and product taste. They're also loving what you do. They love your mission. They love what you stand for. And that's why they buy you. And again, that's probably why we've been so disciplined in our approach, right? We've built a solid brand here in Canada. And as you know, right, the Canadian story is a fundamental, fantastic success story for us. We're playing right up there with the big guys. We're the number three brand with 14% market share. We're bigger than Rockstar, which has now 10% market share. And we're growing at 70% when the industry is growing at 5, 6, 7, 8%, right? So we know we can play out there with the big guys, against the big guys in the big mainstream energy drink industry.
You've talked about that in the past. You know, Guru is successful in Canada. As you mentioned, it's outperforming Rockstar in the country. And you've talked about trying to replicate Guru's playbook here in the United States. But how many similarities really exist between the two markets? Can you effectively use that same playbook south of the border?
So the dynamics are very much the same, right, both from both markets. So that's kind of the first part of the question. Now, in terms of playbook, in terms of replicating a Canadian success in the U.S., we're taking the small steps, right? We started, as you know, a few years ago in the Bay Area and trying to replicate what we've done in Quebec. And so far, it's, again, feels starting to really feel the same way on a much smaller scale. We're seeing our brand registering in the top 7, top 8 brands. We're seeing stores where we get 2%, 3%, 5% market share. I mean, in convenience stores, right? Natural channel and conventional grocery, Muyulo is there to support the growth. But we did a test in the Bay Area to really replicate what we've been seeing in Quebec. And it feels right, right? It gives us reassurance that we can replicate this. Obviously, we're doing this at our own pace, right? With the opportunities that we can afford to attack. So the question right now is, okay, now we have this playbook. We know it works. We know consumers love us in the U.S. as well. It's not only a Canadian story. It's not a local brand. How much faster can we go? What's the right partner, right, to help us? Is it a funding round with private equity? Do we need a strategic partnership? This is what we're exploring right now, right? We're deep into planning and discussions around that space to see where we're going to go next if we want to be faster in our mission to clean up the industry.
Mike, I was just in the kitchen and I saw this really cool THC-infused beverage brand called Eighth Wonder.
Ah, chill brand. They make cannabis bevs as well as beer and spirits. The product you're talking about is a super tasty cherry limeade cannabis seltzer called Lil Bit. And did you know Eighth Wonder was acquired last year by Houston's BioCity Hemp?
Yes, I did. That deal created a world-class, vertically integrated cannabis and craft beverage company. Bayou's science-based processes for extracting THC from hemp have made the company the gold standard for cannabis products across Texas and beyond.
Bayou's cannabis portfolio includes 8th Wonder as well as Howdy and Beach Break, all of which are distributed throughout Texas and Louisiana.
You can learn more about all these brands at 8thWonder.com, SipHowdy.com, and SipBeachBreak.com.
On June 12th and 13th in New York City, hear from Icelandic Glacial, Lemon Perfect, GoPuff, Sachet, Diageo Ventures, and Lowe's Foods during the leading event for the beverage industry. Save on BevNet Live tickets through April 26th. Just visit BevNetLive.com.
Oftentimes when brands want to grow, they are investing dollars in brand building and marketing activities. And compared to some energy brands, it feels like Guru has maintained a pretty low profile and marketing spend. And it feels like that's part of that disciplined strategy that you were talking about earlier in our conversation. But is that strategy sustainable? I mean, how do you know when it's the right time to press the gas and spend the money on promotion and ad spend?
Goes back to the first, the previous question. It's obviously we can be faster. Obviously we can do more. I always say this, like in when we do our strategic planning, the toughest part for us is to decide what we're not going to do. Right? There's so many opportunities in this market. The market is so big. And we've been very disciplined in deciding what we're not going to do every year and what we're going to execute flawlessly. And we focus on the things that we say we're going to do. And unfortunately, we say no to a lot of things, right? And we don't invest in a lot of things. And it's difficult to do that. That has proven to your question, is it sustainable? It is, right? We've had a lot of success. We've tripled the size of the business in the last 5 years. We still have maintained our awesome gross margins. So for now, it is sustainable and growing the business. The question is, how much faster can we go? We don't want to go into the big cash-burning mistakes that we talked about earlier on, right? We want to keep staying true to who we are, right? How we've maintained, how we've grown this brand. But we have big ambitions. And in order to realize those big ambitions, we'll need to be faster. And, you know, this is exactly the theme of our 2020 strategic planning.
Carl, you said the company needs to be bolder and faster, but you've already succeeded in many ways. You already have a very successful business in Canada. You're growing here in the United States. What's to say that you really need to grow any bigger than you already are?
Oh, it's only because of it's our big, bold ambitions and to align with our mission, right? We think this success in Canada, where we're number three brand, not number three in natural, but number three total brand, right? With 15% share of the whole energy drink industry in Quebec gives us the confidence that this industry needs a massive cleanup. There's a need for a brand that is very differentiated, that is different from the legacy brands in the industry. Consumers are more ready than ever before, right? We're seeing the industry segmenting right now. We've seen a lot of activity around performance energy. There is now a need for organic energy and better for you energy. And we want to be that brand, right? We want to be that brand. And that's part of the drive for this. It goes back to the mission of the brand.
As I mentioned at the top of our conversation, you have been with Guru for a number of years. And you became CEO 2 years ago?
Yeah, roughly. Yeah, a year ago. Started a transition. It was a smooth transition with the founder, right? So this happened all very naturally. We all aligned towards this. Joe became the chairman and I became CEO. So this was a very smooth, all agreed, the transition.
How do you stay aligned with the founder of the company? How do you stay aligned on that mission? I mean, you were the CEO. You're responsible for the day-to-day and executing on that strategy that you have laid out for the brand on a year-to-year basis. How do you work with someone who might have a different opinion, who happens to be the founder and chairman of the company?
Well, we talk every day.
That helps.
Joe is my partner in this business, right? We're three majority shareholders. The three of us own the vast majority of the shares, right? And we have employees that have, you know, a portion a portion of the shares and a little bit of friends and family. But overall, the cap table is just the three of us in the majority. And we have board meetings where, you know, one of the founders is also on the board, Eric, but he's more of a silent partner. And Joe is my partner every day. We manage this business together, right? So it's not like it's worked out very well, right? Obviously, we have our own debates, and that's healthy debates, I find, right? Joe will add his view, and certainly a lot of history plays a big part in the culture of the business, right? And I bring back more of the sales and marketing background and lead the strategic planning aspect, and I'm the one talking to the customers and investors. You know, when Joe made that transition, he was very mature in the process, recognized that over the years, he recognized that he needed to surround himself with a team of professionals. And I'm one of many, right? We brought a CFO, we have Luc, our brewmaster, we brought in some new VPs of sales along the way. So Joe was mature enough to surround himself with professionals to grow this business, right? And understand his own limitations and where his strengths were and where he would focus. While so right now, yeah, for us, Joe remains very much of an entrepreneur, and I'm an entrepreneur at heart, which means we sometimes have our debates, but I also grew up in a large corporation, right? So I know what it is to manage stakeholders and making sure that you get buy-in from your team members, and you align on a strategy, and then you move on to execute the strategy. So there's a personal aspect that works, and there's a process aspect that works, right? We have a clear strategic planning process. We have an S&OP process to run the business, and we have our regular board meetings to align on decisions, and it works well for us.
Do you feel like you're better positioned as an entrepreneur because you grew up, so to speak, in corporate business, in a corporate business structure? What I'm asking is, you know, some people have never worked in a corporation. Some people loathe the idea of working in a corporation, but it sounds like it gave you the framework and the foundation to understand what business requires on a tactical level.
Oh, there's no doubt, right? It's a mix. Like, being an entrepreneur at heart was probably my biggest strength in the corporate world, but it was also my biggest weakness from a politics point of view and playing the game, the corporate game and stuff. I was pretty bad at this, right? But I was driving results, I was driving success, I was making things happen like an entrepreneur, right? So that was driving success. But I'm a lot more comfortable in a smaller business like Guru, where our actions are a lot more tangible. But working in a corporate world gave me, you know, this is the best business school I could have ever had, right? It's working with the best agencies in the world and the best consultants in the world and smart people around you. You grow, right? You grow significantly. You learn business. And then when it's time to do it for your own, then obviously you're much better prepared. Right? This is, for me, the best of both worlds now.
Well, it sounds like you're in a pretty great spot. And, you know, Carl, every time I talk to you, you have a smile on your face and you seem to have a very positive view of the industry and your brand. And it's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, because I think, you know, Guru's on the right track and it sounds like you have a lot to do with that. So thank you so much for taking the time to be with me today. Good luck with everything going forward, and please stay in touch.
Thank you so much.
That brings us to the end of episode 213. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks to our guest, Carl Goyette. You can catch both Taste Radio and Taste Radio Insider on tasteradio.com, the Apple Podcasts app, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. As always, for questions, comments, ideas for future podcasts, please send us an email to ask@tasteradio.com. On behalf of the entire Taste Radio team, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.